When four people were lynched in the town of Monroe 73 years ago, the news of the crime traveled far from Georgia. And while even President Harry Truman was among those who wanted justice, justice was never served in the case. But a court hearing later this year could grant access to documents that could fill in the gaps in the story of the Morse Ford lynching. It's an afternoon in July, and a crowd of people are trying to find the right spot on a two-lane road outside the town of Monroe to watch a crime.
Make your way up the hill. You can see the first scene.
A well-dressed white man with a fuming cigarette waves down a car on the road crossing the Apalachee River. With more white men, he forces four black people, two couples, out of the car. On July 25th, 1946, the mob probably wanted Roger Malcolm. He had already been in jail for stabbing a white man. But by the end of this, the 15th annual reenactment of the lynching at Morse Ford Bridge, spectators will see how Malcolm's wife, Dorothy Dorsey Malcolm, her brother George Dorsey, and his wife, Mae Murray Dorsey, were also murdered.
And cut, can everyone just go move that way?
The crime made headlines all over the country. But over the course of a grand jury investigation, where the FBI interviewed over 2,000 people, almost half of Walton County 73 years ago, and where over 100 people testified before the grand jury, not a single indictment was handed down. Darius Bradshaw has played Roger Malcolm for 5 years. By now, there's only one thing about Morse Ford he wants to know.
I want to know exactly who pulled the triggers. I want to know exactly who did it.
The answer might be in the Morse Ford grand jury records. Historian Anthony Pitch and his lawyer Joe Bell have been fighting the FBI and the Department of Justice to unseal those records for years. Soon, they'll make their case before all 12 judges of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta. But in the morning before the reenactment, Joe Bell tells a crowd in the First African Baptist Church of Monroe that preparing for the hearing has gotten complicated.
Most unfortunately, Anthony Pitch passed away about 3 weeks ago. However, and I...
Now, without his plaintiff, Bell will have to prove to the court there are enough people who still care about Morse Ford that the records should still be unsealed. And he'll have to find someone to make sense of it all. Bell tells the church he's got somebody.
Another author, Laura Wexler, wrote a book on the Morse Ford tragedy as well.
So, Laura Wexler published her book, Fire and a Canebrake, in 2003. She's spoken to Bell, and she's prepared for the grand jury records, but...
Do I think there's going to be a smoking gun in this? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
What's more, Wexler says treating the Morse Ford lynching just as a murder mystery misses the bigger picture. In Wexler's book, it's clear some people in Monroe kept quiet because they feared for their lives. Others, their jobs. For still more, it could have been about their good name in the community, their political power. Wexler wants to understand how that all adds up to a system that tolerates murder.
We would look to the entire system as both the cause for an incident like this and then the protection for those who perpetrated it.
Lynching reenactment organizer Tyrone Brooks agrees with Wexler that the killers may never be known, but there may be another prize in the grand jury records.
We think confessions and... truth and reconciliation and healing is the proper way to go.
That's why Tyrone Brooks says he and other members of the Morse Ford movement will be in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals with Joe Bell on the 21st of October. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Monroe.